Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the bottom line. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Dinei Mamnis B'Shloisha, Dinei Mamnis, Dinei Torah, they refer to financial situation, B'Shloisha. However, M'Hoya Mumcha L'Rabin, if the Dayan, who is doing this Din Torah, is a Mumcha L'Rabin, Donafil Yechidi, the halacha is that he could do the nentira on his self, by himself. There's many opinions amongst the rishonim to who is the what is the definition of a mumchum rabbin. The Yad Ramah says in the name of Rav Shrei Ragoin that a mumchum rabbin is somebody who is well known to be a Talmud Chacham and to have good advice how to deal with different situations, and it has much experience. Another pshat is that a mumchel rabbim is somebody who doesn't have the smicha that we know existed in the time of Chazal, which goes back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it refers to somebody who has ordination that is well known to be able to Paskin difficult shilas. The Meiri says that he wants to bring down opinion that he has to be 40 years old, but then the Meiri himself says that isn't actually correct, because the halacha is that we have very many experiences in Shas where there were people who were not that old and yet were certainly considered very significant and their psak was considered valid. Tosfos says that when somebody is a mumcha l'rabim that we're speaking about, he can not only is the halacha that he could do it entirely by himself, even he could force, he has the same strength of a bezdin, and that he could bring it entire, he could force it entirely. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this halacha. Rashi explains that it goes back to a Gemara that we learned in Daf Gimel, that the pasuk says "Betzadek tishbet amisecha," and from that pasuk we learn that one dayin is adequate. But as we discussed, a parshius different halachas that we learned that you have to have maybe three dayanim. But our Gemara, this pasuk is based on that the halacha is that three, that really one dayin is adequate, and that's why a dayin mumcha could be that one person. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that really the our Gemara is following the opinion that three dayanim are required. So why is our Gemara saying that a dayin mumcha l'rabin could do the entire by himself? So Tosfos explains, because again, we're anxious to be able to make sure that the Din Torah is done properly. And the way we can make sure that the Din Torah is done properly, we're doing everything to make sure that people end up doing the Din Torah that they're supposed to do. And one of the ways of accomplishing that is by having even if there's a dayan that's a mumchel rabbim and he's qualified, let him do the Din Torah. Amar Rav Nachman, Sir Rav Nachman says, Kigoyin ano, someone like myself, don dine mamnus b'yichidi, I could do a din Torah of financial matters by myself. The kain amar Rav Chiya, so said Rav Chiya, kigoyin ano, like someone like me, don dine mamnus b'yichidi, could do a din Torah by myself. Tosfos asked the question, where we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dal Mishnah Ches, al te don yichidi, nobody should do a din Torah by himself. She'ein don yichidi el achad. The only one that is able to and should do something that is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Bar Tanura says that Mishnah is referring to a situation where they didn't accept him upon themselves. But if the both parties are agreeable that this person should do the din Torah, then he could be, that's not a violation of that Mishnah. Tosfos Yontif asks on that Bar Tanura, for as we just learned in our first words of the shir, that when the Mishnah says you could have a dayan who's a mumcha, the halacha could be that even if he's somebody, if he, even if they didn't accept him. So how do we understand that? And how do we understand this halacha in light of our Mishnah? So there, some explain that, of course, l'chatchila, a dan yechidi, somebody should not be do a dan yechidi, that's a midas chassidus. But our Gemara speaking about the letter of the law, even though we can make an argument that we should indeed not ever have a dan yechidi. Others, the Likutei Maril seems to explain that what the Mishnah is telling us to avoid is telling us to avoid a case where the person just does a din Torah by himself without the proper concentration to do the din Torah properly. But if somebody does it with the proper attitude, then the halacha is that he can't do a din Torah all by himself. Another pshat that I saw, which is in line with what we began our shiur with as well, that if somebody is doing Dina Torah all of the time, then the halacha is he could do a din Torah by himself. When is there a concern about doing a din Torah by yourself? There's only a concern when you're doing the din Torah without any experience and then doing it by yourself. But if you're doing it for many years by yourself, then we could be more lenient. Ibailuhu. So now the Bnei Yeshiva wanted to understand what Rav Nachman meant. Did he mean to say, Kigoyna, no, that I am a Dayan, the Gemirna, that I learned the halachas, the Severna, I have the proper logic to do the Din Torah. When the Kitna Rishus, and I got permission from the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the highest authority of Klal Yisrael in Bavel, and he had the authority to appoint Dayanim and Shoftim, and the Reish Galusa, as we're going to see, came from the family of David HaMelech. So it doesn't mean, I have authorization from Reish Galusa. Aval, the loy nakad reshus, if somebody does not have that authorization, dine loy dine, he has no right to do a din Torah. Adilma afgav the loy nakita reshusa, even in a case where he doesn't have that license, still, even if he doesn't have the license, if he has these qualifications, the loch will be dina, that is a din Torah, is a valid din Torah. Toshma. The Mazutra Bereid of Nachman Don Din of Atah. Mazutra, the son of Rav Nachman, did a Din Torah, and he made an error. Also came to Rav Yosef, and he came to Rav Yosef to ask a question, does he have to pay from his pocket for the error that he made? Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, Im kiblo alaych, if they accepted upon you that whatever you say is going to be, and even if you make a mistake, they're willing to accept the mistake, then loy tishalim. Then you are not going to be obligated to pay from your pocket. The Rishonim debate, what does that mean? Does that mean that he doesn't have to pay from his pocket, even though the Din Torah stays in effect? Or is the way to understand the Gemara that he doesn't have to pay from his pocket because they both parties accepted him as the Dayan, but the halacha will still be that the psak that he gave stands. Viloy, but if they did not accept you as being the dayan, they expected you to be paskin the shaila as the din Torah requires you to paskin, and now you made a mistake, then the halacha is that the din kilayna kitta reshusay, the halacha is that if he didn't get permission, dinay, and the psak that he gave is a din zil shlim, that you have to pay. But what do we see from here? Kilo in the kitna reshusa, that even though he didn't have that authorization, still the halacha is dine. Shmamina, so from here we could see that if the authorization from the Reish Galusa is not, the authorization from the Reish Galusa is not absolutely required. The Rishonim debate if in the case, as we said, if the Din Torah was wrong, if the Din Torah was wrong, do we do it over or not? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Hai Man Debay LeMeid in Dina. If somebody wants to pask it in Torah, Itoi, if he makes a mistake, Boy LeMiftara, and he wants to be in a situation that he won't have to pay if he makes a mistake, the way he could accomplish that is Lishko Rishusa Bebei Resh Galusa. He should get permission, he should get authorization from the Resh Galusa. That a question that the Rishonim debate is, what does that mean that he got authorization from the Resh Galusa? Doesn't mean that as soon as someone gets authorization from the Resh Galusa, it doesn't make a difference what his qualifications are. The fact that he got that authorization is sufficient. That's the opinion of the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Tor. But the Balamor and the Yad Ramah are of the opinion that just because you got a Rishus, then it's not enough. You have to have the qualifications. And if not, he's not going to be qualified. Which opens up another question. Does the person, when he comes to get this authorization, have to prove his level of learning? The Shach says that he has to be able to prove that he is a mumcha. And if not, he doesn't have these special rules. And I saw that the Tzoy says it's not just enough that he should be able to say that I'm a Talmud Chacham. He has to also prove, and we have to know, that he is a Yerushimayim. And if he can't prove that he has all of those qualifications, says the Shach and the Tzoy, his authorization is meaningless. Amishmul says the Gemara, the Kain Amishmul, Lishko Rishus Rebei Resh Galusa, if somebody wants to take on this type of a case, he has to have authorization. If he wants to not have to pay, if he makes a mistake. Continues the Gemara, Pshita, says the Gemara. Now the Gemara delves in further into this concept of authorization. We know that in Bavel, as we said before, the leader in Bavel was the Resh Galusa. The leader in Eretz Yisrael was the Nasi. So it says the Gemara, Pshita Mahacha Lahacha. If somebody got authorization from the Resh Galusa to pask in Shilas here in Bavel, or Mihasam, or if somebody got permission in Eretz Yisrael from the Nasi to pask in these type of Dairatari or Lahasam, then it's fantastic. The question is, Mahacha Lahasam, if he got permission from the Resh Galusa, that authorization works for Eretz Yisrael, Mahani, the Hacha, because the level of leadership in Bavel is called Shevet. They were given a very high level of authorization for Hasab, but the level of authorization in Eretz Yisrael is Mechaikik, which is a lower level of authorization. Ketanya, as the Brisa says, Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, the Melucha will continue by Shevet Yehuda, even when we're Golis. Who does that refer to? Elu L'Rosh Golis B'Bavel, it refers to the Resh Galusa. Shiroides Yisrael B'Shevet, that have a lot of authority over Klal Yisrael. U'Mechaikik Bein Raglov, Elu B'nei Bonav Shel Hillel, that refers to the B'nei Hill, the children of Hillel, Shemelamdim Tayr B'Rabim, they are the Nesiim, they teach Klal Yisrael Torah, but it's not the same level as the Resh Galusa. And there's Machlokes Rishonim, why is the Resh Galusa considered a higher level than the, why is the Resh Galusa considered a higher level of authority than the Nasi? So Rashi explains, because the Resh Galusa has authority from the king of Pras. So the government authority that he carries gives him a higher level of authority. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that the Resh Galusa came directly from Shevet Yehuda. The Nasi is not from Shevet Yehuda on their father's side necessarily. It's on the Nasi from their mother's side. So they're not really considered purely from Shevet Yehuda. Another pshat that I saw is that the strength of the Mechaikek, the strength of the Nasi, is only Mibein Raglov. Mibein Raglov means from his Talmidim. That doesn't mean he has his own greatness. Whereas the Reish Galusa is great on his own. That so from here we say, says the Rambam, that when it comes to Reish Galusa, the most important element to look at is who is Shevet Yehuda. And Taisus, according to what Taisus says, it's very geschmack. Because Taisus says that this entire discussion that we're having, who is greater, Bavel or Eretz Yisrael, is only regarding Dinei Mamonos. Why is it only regarding Dinei Mamonos? So the pshat is, because with what authority does Beis Din paskin the Shaila, does Beis Din rule on Dinei Mamonos? Because what makes them special is Hefker Beis Din Hefker. And the more authority that they have in and that's a straw, and that's a, that gives them more of a right to do Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Whereas when we speak about the people in Bavel and that's a straw, so even though when it comes to these types of shilas, we're going to say of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, they don't have the same level of authority. But therefore, Taisa says when they're questions of Isser Veheter, those kind of questions don't need the authority of a king. And therefore, in those types of questions, the Eretz Yisrael Nasi is greater than the Reish Galusa. There's a Machloikas Rishonim. We quoted Taisus that says that what makes the Reish Galusa special is his Yichus from Shevet Yehuda. What will be the halacha if you will have somebody that is appointed as the Reish Galusa, but he doesn't come from Shevet Yehuda? The Beis Yosef's opinion is, if he doesn't come from Shevet Yehuda, even if he was appointed, it wouldn't help. The Ramah, however, quotes the Rivash, and the Rivash says that only somebody who's not a mumcha has the authority if he is from Shevet Yehuda. But if he's not the Talmud Chacham, and he doesn't also have Shevet Yehuda, then his authority is not strong. But if he has Shevet Yehuda, if he's a mumcha, even though he's not from Shevet Yehuda, then it's still going to be acceptable to be a Reish Galusa. The Gra says that this machlokes of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah is really directly connected to the machlokes of Rashi and Tosafos that we just learned. What makes the Reish Galusa? What makes the Galusa special? What is Pshat Melamdim Tayr Barabim that makes the people in Eretz Yisrael more special? Says the Inyan Yaakov that the people in Eretz Yisrael, when it came to learning, were in a much better place than the people in Chutz Laretz. Because when it came to midos, it came to behavior, the people in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll have these Gemaras in our Masecht as well, were much bigger Bali midos. So since they were much bigger Bali midos, their strength is Melamdim Tayr Barabim. To be successful in your learning, you need to be a Bal midos. And therefore, ask the Gemara, Mehasam, if somebody has authorization in Eretz Yisrael from the Nasi, the question is, Lahachimai, what will be the halacha regarding his authorization? Will his authorization be effective in Bavel? Tashma, the Rav Bar Chana don din of Atah. Rav Bar Chana passed the Shaila and made a mistake. Asla kamei de Rav Chiya. And the question was brought to Rav Chiya, Amalei, im kiblu chalayu, if the two parties accepted you as their dayan, loy tishalim. Viloy, but if they didn't accept you, zil shalom, you have to pay from your own pocket. Now makes the Gemara's point. But Rav Bar Chana reshus avinokit. Rav Bar Chana had authorization. Shmamina, but we see that his authorization, which was from Eretz Yisrael, the Mahosam Lahacha, that his authorization, which was given to him in Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael won't be effective in Bavel, and that's why if the two parties didn't accept him, he will have to pay for a mistake. Shema Minah, isn't this a great raya? Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'loy Mahani, is the authorization that one receives in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, not effective in Chutz La'aretz and Bavel? Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Barav Huna, he have a mincy behadi de Beirish Gulusa, when he had a dispute with the people of the Reish Galusa's home, and he, because he used to feel that they were taking advantage, Omar, he said, "Lam nekaychunda kitrushnusa. I don't have to be subservient to you, because it's not from you that I got my authorization. Nekitn rishusam Abba Mori, I got my authorization from Rav Huna. V'Abba Mori got his authorization from Rav. Rav mirav Chia, Rav Chia mirebi." So we see that their authorization came from Rebbe, who was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. And if the halacha is that authorization from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is not effective, so how could he have even attempted to take authorization in Bavel? But one thing we see from here, says the Shas Tshuvas, Tshuva Mehava, that a father could give, even though he's obviously related to a son, can give authorization to a son. Answers the Gemara, the Milsa, the Alma Hudu Ukumla. He was just trying to push them off. But really, indeed, his authorization from Rebbe was not adequate for him and Bavel. Ask the Gemara, if that's indeed the case, V'chimi Achadolai Mahani, if authorization from Eretz Yisrael is really not valid in Bavel, so ask the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Huna, that we said before, that got Rabbi Baruch Hanan got Rishus from Rebbe, Rishus of the Nakat Lamali. What was the point of getting that authorization? It says if he's going to Bavel and there's no, and that authorization is meaningless. It says the Gemara, it was helpful, Le'yoris Haim Mal Gvulin. Not only is the authorization for Eretz Yisrael is obviously valid for Eretz Yisrael, but it's also valid for the places near Eretz Yisrael. And he said, that's what I needed that authorization. Ask the Gemara, my Rishusa, what does that mean that he got authorization? Says the Gemara, ki have nochus Rabba Bachana Lebovel. When Rabba Bachana was leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Bavel, omlei Rav Chiya l'Rebbe. So Rav Chiya said to Rebbe, bet achi, my nephew, the brother of Chana, my brother, Yoyrud Lebovel, is going to Bavel. Yoyra, does he have permission to pask in Shiles of Issa v'Heter? And he was told Yoyra. He was given permission to do so. Then he asked them, Yodin, does he have a right to pask in Dine Mominus? Yodin. Yata Bechayrus, we know that a Bechar, Behema, Tahira, has to be given to the Kayin, and the Kayin brings it as a carbon, which is essentially a carbon shlomim. But in the time of Rebbe, where it was ready after the Churban Abayis, where we could not bring Kabanis, the halach is that we wait for the Bechar becomes a Balmum, and once the Bechar becomes a Balmum, then it can be used as a regular animal. Of course, there are certain restrictions. And you need to be a Talmud Chacham, to paskin that this is a mum which you're allowed to eat, which doesn't have the Kedushas Bechar. From here it seems that they had Bechar even in Chutz La'aretz, which is a question on the opinion of the Rambam, who seems to say that the Din of Bechar doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. So some actually say that that is not the opinion of the Rambam, and that the Rambam actually does hold the Bechar applies in Chutz La'aretz. And others say that even if the Rambam says that Kedushas Bechar doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, that's only as far as Midaraisa. Midrabbanan, he certainly agrees it applies. So the question he asks, does Rabbi Bar Chana have authorization to Yat the Bechayrus to pass in these titles, Rishoy? Says the Gemara, however, Kavanochus Rav Lebovel, when Rav was going to Bovel, Amalei Rav Chila Rebbe Ben Achoisi, the son of my sister whose name was Ima, Yair Lebovel, is going to Bovel. And my question is, Yair, Mehi Paskin Issevehetta Shilas, and he was told Yoira. He would then ask Yodin, could he Paskin Dina Mominus? Yodin. But then he asked him, Yata Bechiris, could he too take on the position of being able to evaluate a Bechor if it's a Balmum? To that he said, Al Yater. Asked the Gemara, Maishna Lamar, why did Rabbi call Rav Chia Benachi? Or Maishna Lamar, and why did he call Rav Benachaisi? V'chi tema, and if you'll say, Hachi Avamaisa, they were both nephews, but Rav Chia was a nephew because it was his brother's son, and Rav was a nephew because he was his sister's son. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't true, because of Amar, we've learned Avoy, who was the father of Rav, the Chana, and the father of Rabba, the Shelu Umar of Rav Chia, our Rav Chia, Kula B'nei Abba Bach Acha Krisla, so they were paternal brothers. So our question comes back. Why is this one called Ben Achi and one is called Ben Achaisi? Answers the Gemara. Rav Baruch Dehava Bar Achsei. Besides that Rav was a brother's son, he was also a sister's son. Whereas Rav Bachana Bar Achva was a brother's son, the La Bar Achsei, but not a sister's son. And to understand this, Rav Acha Mekofri, who was the father of Iva and Rav Chia, married a woman, and they had a son called Iva. And after she passed away, Rav Acha Mekofri married another woman that had a daughter whose name was Ima from another man. And now, when Rav Acha married Ima, they had a son called Rav Chia. When Rav Chia got married, he married Ima, who was not related to him at all, and they had Rav. So it turns out that Iva and Rav Chia had the same father and not the same mother. And Ima, the mother of Rav and Rav Chia, had the same mother but not the same father. And that's why, to show this difference, he called him my sister's son and him my brother's son. V'bayisema. And the way to understand why does the Gemara look for another teretz, the reason the Gemara looks for another teretz is because he was still a brother's son. So why did he dafka call him a sister's son? Answers the Gemara, Hashem chachmasai. The reason he was called a sister's son, because that represents true Talmud Chacham. The Ksiv, Emel Chachma Chaisiat. We call Chachma is called as is referred to as our sister, a sister. And the question is, why is it called more on your sister's name than anything else? So I saw that when we speak about a husband and wife, says the Yoshe Divrei Emes, that a relationship that exists between a husband and wife is dependent on their feelings towards each other. But when we talk about a sister is a sister no matter what your feelings are to her. And that's supposed to be our attitude to the Torah, says the Yoshe Divrei Emes. We're not supposed to learn only if we enjoy learning. We're supposed to learn under all circumstances. And that's represented when we say, Emel Chachma Achosiat. The Sefer Ahava Shalom says that the relationship between a husband and a wife is a greater love than the love of brother and a sister. But a husband's wife relationship doesn't necessarily remain forever. Whereas the relationship of a brother and a sister, nothing could obviously alter that relationship. The Or Sameach, Rameya Simcha, once said to Rav Zalman Sorotskin that there was an interesting story. There was a time that the Russian government, as was very common, wanted to make a decree against the yeshivas. And all of the Gedolei Yisrael gathered together in Petersburg to have a very important meeting how to deal with this terrible decree. And all of a sudden, the Chofetz Chaim came to this meeting as well. And Rameyah Simcha was very surprised why the Chofetz Chaim arrived. He knew that the Chofetz Chaim was not invited to this meeting that was taking place in St. Petersburg. So Rameyah Simcha asked the Chofetz Chaim that why did you come? Why did you feel the need to come, especially since you weren't invited? So the Chofetz Chaim said he came because his sister isn't well. And therefore he was in St. Petersburg anyway. So Rameyah Simcha asked the Chofetz Chaim, all started asking questions. What's the matter with your sister? Is she in the hospital? What treatments is she getting? And Chofetz Chaim started to smile. And Rameyah Simcha looked at the Chofetz Chaim and didn't understand. Here you're telling me your sister's not well, and you came to visit her, and now you're smiling. It's nothing to laugh about if Chas V'Shalom, your sister's not well. So the Chofetz Chaim said, when I said my sister is not well, you know who I meant was my sister? It was the Torah. I hear that there are gzeiris, there are decrees against the Torah. And as we just learned, the Pasuk says, the Torah is my sister. Mm-hmm. And if I hear that the Torah is suffering, that means my sister is suffering, and I have to come and do whatever I can to help her. So the Gemara asks that Rav Chiya asked Rebbe if Rav is authorized, Yata Bechairis, to answer questions about Bechairis, and he says, Al Yata, he's not allowed. He says, the Marmai Tama, Ilai Mishum Deloi Chochim, if we're going to suggest that the reason why Rav wasn't given that authorization, because he wasn't enough of a Talmud Chochim, HaKamrinan Deloi Chochim Tuva, we know Rav was a great Talmud Chochim. Ella, he's not enough an expert in knowing what is a mum to make the Talmud Chacha, to make a Bechor considered Baal Mum. Ask the Mara, how could one say so? Vomer Rav, hasn't Rav himself said, Shemayna Esra Chadoshim Gedalti, Eitzel Roy Behema, for 18 months that I spent time with shepherds, Leida, Ezemum Kavuav, Ezemum Oiver. He spent 18 months just learning that. And from here we see what their view to learning Torah. The Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Torah Habayis says, let's think about this. Here we have a great Talmud Chacham like Rav. And even though we have a great Talmud Chacham like Rav, who's learning all of Shas, it doesn't bother him to spend all of this time just learning about one subject. And spending time with a shepherd, which is certainly not something that is a real pleasure. And still, Rav took out 18 months of his life to live on a farm just to be able to learn. So said the Chofetz Chaim, if anybody wants to say, and anybody wants to have an excuse, that they don't have to learn because it's difficult, it's embarrassing, let's always remember this Gemara, how Rav spent 18 months on a farm just to learn one subject. Ella, the reason he wasn't given permission, lacha kavod l'Rabbi Bachana, to give Rabbi Bachana that distinction that he could pass kedusha ilus and Rav cannot. V'bay seima, and now the Gemara gives a different approach, and that is misham hugufei. It because Rav was such an expert, the Rav book b'mumei tfei. Rav was a great expert. They're going to be blemishes that most people would not actually think of them as a mum. V'amri, but Rav, in his great expertise, does know they're a mum. And people are going to say, "Okay, Gavna Shara Rav, we have this type of mum. And Rav said it's a mum. And therefore, they're going to come, also l'mishri mum over. And they may come to say mumim, which are really not mumim, are mumim, and to avoid that type of situation, that's why he didn't let Rav pass kedusha shailos. And this is a fantastic issue in halacha, and that is, could somebody pass a shaila in a way that people won't really understand this psak, and they'll wonder if this psak is right. And it's actually that it's a machloikis of the shach, who the shach says that if somebody could explain his position and show that this position is in a sefer, then we could, even if the psak is a difficult psak to accept, we should accept it. The Trumas Hadeshin seems to disagree. The Trumas Hadeshin says that anyone that a shayla, even if the halacha is that it's mutter, but it seems that it's a difficult psak to understand, that we shouldn't pass in that way, even if that is the correct psak. And I saw that Rav Shlomo Klug in the Shas Tshuvas Tum Tav Das says that if something, just because something is in the sefer, doesn't mean that any sefer is enough to make it acceptable. When we speak about a sefer making it acceptable, it has to be a sefer that's a well-known sefer, one of the Rishonim or one of the well-known Achronim. But just because it's in a sefer doesn't make it mutter. Moreover, the Paiskim say, it's not just enough, according to the Shach, that it should be in a sefer. It has to be something that when you look in the sefer, you'll understand the sefer. But if it's not something that you will understand, it doesn't make it mutter. And in fact, I saw that the Shevet Alevi quoted the Chazon Ish, says that we know that the word for paskening a shayla, we'll sing in our Gemara, actually the next word, is the word hayra. Why is paskening a shayla called hayra? So he says that the definition of hayra is a lesson. It's something to teach. Paskening a shayla is not just that you have to pasken a shayla mutter, osur, kosher, treif. A hayra means that it's supposed to serve as a lesson how to deal with issues in life. And if you can't pasken a shayla in a way that will be a lesson for life, or as the Trumas Hadeshin perhaps suggests, it will be actually just the opposite, that one shouldn't answer the shayla even though he knows the halacha is different. Another discussion that I saw is that the Cheshuki Chemet says the Rav may end up answering a question in a way that people won't understand. And the Cheshuki Chemet discusses here how far does the obligation of a Rav go? He has a very interesting discussion. If there's a Rav who's giving Heksherim and somebody to whom he's giving a Heksher makes a mistake, and this Rav is not getting paid to give a Heksher, but this Rav knows that this product that people assume are kosher, is really not kosher. And the Cheshuki Chemet discusses, does the Rav have an obligation to take money out of his own pocket to pay to make people aware about the problem of this product? He says that part of what our Gemara is trying to teach us is that if Rav is going to pasken shailas, and he's going to pasken them in a way that people don't understand, it becomes his obligation to explain the psak. Rabbonis carries responsibility. And therefore, because there was a concern to how much responsibility he's going to take, the halacha is that he should not pasken the shailas. Then the Gemara said that should Rav Yoira, could Rav pasken shailas of Issa v'Heter? And he said, Yoira, he may. But ask the Gemara, E Gomer, if Rav is such a big Talmud Chacham, so the question is, Roshu Salama L'Mishko, why does he have to get permission? Answers, the Gemara M'Shemasa Shahoya, for a different reason. The Tanya Pam Amachos Holy Rech, Helach Rebbe L'Makam Echad, Rebbe once went to a certain location, V'roi B'nei Adam, Shemagablim, is the same B'tuma. They were making their dough that in vessels that were Tameh, and they weren't concerned that their dough is going to become Tameh. Amalem, and Rebbe asked them, Nei atama gabum isesechem betumma, why are you doing this? Amalei Talmud Echad Balakan, there was a Talmud Chacham that came to our location, for Hayrolanu, Mei Betzayim, water from a swamp, not clean water, Eimach Shirim, don't make the food susceptible to Tumma. And they said, we're using that type of water, and therefore we have nothing to worry about. But says the Gemara, "V'hu mei beitzim darish lehu." That's where they made a mistake. He didn't mean mei betzoim, which means swamp water. He meant to say egg water. Egg is not considered mayim, and it's not makh shlekabo tuma. V'hinu sover mei betzoim kama. They got confused, and the Magen Avraham says this is the basis for a very well-known minig. The minig is that people, when they want to use the word beitza, we speak about mesechta beya, beitza and egg, they don't call it beitza, they call it beya. Why don't they call it beitza? Because of our Gemara, that we see that the word beitzim got confused. So to make sure that one is speaking about an egg, there should be no confusion, he means egg, we don't use the word beitza, we use the word beya. Says the Gemara, they also made another mistake. The mistake was that they thought that the halacha is that if somebody becomes tamei meis, they had to have the ash of the parah aduma mixed together with mayim chayim, and that was sprinkled with a whole process, and that made the person tar. And the Mishnah Pesach the parah Paraches Mishnah Yud says mei karmian or mei paigan. Psugim cannot be used for that mechatas. Nei shmei betzoim. It's not mayim chayim. Vinisavri, and they were under the misimpression. Midl gabachatas psili, if they can't be used for the mayim chayim, achshuri loy machshur. They are not machshur food for Kabbalah's tumma. And that is incorrect. Velohi, hustle in your mechatas. When we speak about the mechatas, as we just said, the Torah being a Mayim Chaim, the Torah requires Mayim Chaim, and these waters are not Mayim Chaim. Hochalinya Nachshuri, but when we speak about which water can be Machshifu for Kabbalah's Tama, called me Machshu. Tana, so says the Brisa, Ba'oisa Shah, Rebbe saw all the mistakes that could happen from somebody who's not qualified to pask in a Shaila. At that point, he said, Ba'oisa Shah, Tamach Ayoyra Elmkein, Noit Lushus Merabai. Just because your Talmud Chacham is not adequate, your Rebbe has to be confident that you are qualified to pass in Shailas. Tanchem Reder of Ami Ikla L'Chasor. This Tanchem came to the city of Chasor, Darsh Lehu, and he said at a drasha, Mutar Lilta Ischitim B'Pesach. One could put grain into water on Pesach, and there's no concern before we grind them that they're going to become chametz. Amaloi, so they said to him, Lav Rebbe Menen de Metzor Ikahacha. Don't we have Rebbe Menen de Metzor here? V'tanya, and there's Alocha, Talmud Yor Alocha, B'makam Rabbi. So how are you paskening Shailas? Elm Kane, Rochig Menen Shalosh Pesos. Unless the Rebbe is three Pesos away. Keneged, what's the significance of the Shalosh Pesos? Keneged Machni Yisrael. Amalhu, so how would you paskening Shailas? I did not know the Rabmani was here. Another story. Rav Chiya Chazil Hugavra. Rav Chiya saw an individual that have a Kobe Beis HaKfaris, that he's standing in the Beis HaKfaris. Amalei, and he asked, Rav Chiya asked that person, Lav Ish Ben Ish Ploni Koinata, aren't you the son of a Koin? How are you standing in a cemetery? Amalei in. Davuda Hugavra, Gva in Naim Hava, he was arrogant. Venosin Isha Begrusha, and he wanted to marry a grusha, v'chilala. So we see, however, that one has to be very careful when you could paskin a shaila. And Agamar is saying that it has to be, you can't be with three pasos, which is approximately 8 miles. Taisa says that the Gemara Masechta Ervin says that you can't paskin shailas is as long as your Rebbe is alive. So how do we reconcile the Gemaras? So Taisa says, it depends on if you received authorization from your Rebbe, you could pask in Shailas as long as you're not within three parsahs. If you didn't receive permission, then as long as your Rebbe is alive, then you can't pask in at all. But the Rambam says that this only applies to Rebbe Muvik. The Shach, however, says that you could have more than one Rebbe Muvik. You could have
a Revi Muvik in different subjects. But the Lecha Mishnah says that Bizman Hazeh, it's all of these halachas don't apply. He says only in a time where we didn't have printed Sfarim and all of the Psak was based on memory, on logic, do these restrictions apply. But Bizman Hazeh, where we have Sfarim, so somebody who checks a sefer is allowed to paskin halacha without deferring to Rebbe. But then the Drisha says that what's the halacha if you check the psak in a sefer, but your Rebbe is there. So Drisha says if your Rebbe is there, you're never allowed to paskin the shaila, even though you checked it in a sefer, because how could you paskin the shaila in the presence of your Rebbe? The Shach disagrees. And he says that if you are basing your psak on what it says in a sefer, then you could paskin even in your Rebbe's presence. Says the Gemara. Pshita. Says the Gemara. If somebody got only permission for certain areas of halacha, lepalga, only for certain areas of halacha, then the halacha is hakama de mahani. That is fine. But what is the halacha al tanai? That he only got permission that's going to expire at a certain time. Mai, Toshma, the Amalei Rabbi Yochanan le Rab Shemin, Harayata Brishusainu, Achatavatzlainu. That means you have permission only till you come back here. And once you, and afterwards you don't have permission anymore. Gufa Mishmul Shnaim Shadonu, if two people do it, the entire name din, Ella, the Aloch is, Shinikra Bezdin Chotzev. Somebody who does a din Torah in that way is considered a Bezdin Chotzev. So I saw that the Rav Shlomo Kluger says, but didn't Moshe and Aaron just do a din Torah against Paroi, even though they were just two? So Rav Shlomo Kluger answers, the Pasuk says, I'm Ikash Tespatel. You have to work with somebody according to whom he is. And since Paroi was a Chotzev, he said, Mi Hashem, who is a Kadosh Baruch that I have to listen to? So they could be a Bezdin Chotzev. Says my Yosef Rav Nachman Kamal HaShmatza. Rav Nachman was teaching us this halacha. Eisel Rav Nachman. We're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes. Afilu Shnai Mezakin or Shnai Mechayvin. Ve'echer Oymer Eni Yedei Yosifa Dayanim. So we should have three Dayanim. Vim Isa, if the halacha is that two are satisfactory, why do we have to have three that agree? Answers the Gemara, that's not a question. Shani Hosom, the Mikara Adata Telosa Yosivi. As the Dantaira began under the understanding that we're going to have three people issue a psak, and then we have to have three people. Hocha, but in Shmuel's case, Lav Adata Yosivu, they didn't begin that the Dantaira is going to have to be done by three people. The psak is going to have to be given by three people. Esve asked the Gemara another question. The Brisa says, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Hadin Bishloisha, a Din Torah should have three people, Pshara, a compromise Bishnaya. And therefore, he says, Yofa Kaicha, Pshara Mekaicha Din. Compromise is stronger than Din. Sheshnaim Shadonu, Baladin Yechayim Lachsabin. If two people did a Din Torah, then you could still back out. Vishnaim Shasu Pshara, but if two people made a compromise, two Dayonim, Ein Baladinim Yechayim Lachsabin, they can't back out. So we see that two people are not acceptable even by the Yevid. V'chi teima pligi rabbana leid Rav Shimon Gamaliel, the rabbana disagree. V'amar avu ravo tochus, shnaim shedonu livra kol ein den dinim din. Answers the Gemara, gavar rabbis, you're asking from Rav Avu on Shmuel. Rav Avu holds the three are absolutely necessary and less than three, it's just not acceptable. Shmuel holds that it's acceptable, el shenikra bezdin chotzus.